You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
AUT's Journalism, Media and Democracy Research Centre has just released their New Zealand Media Ownership Report for the year of 2016. I spoke to the co-director of the Research Centre, Dr. Wayne Hope, about the significance of the findings from this year's report and what they might mean for the health of New Zealand's media landscape. I started by asking him to tell me about some of the major changes that have occurred in media ownership this year.
Well, I guess one general change, it's not so much a change, it's the acceleration of a change, is that our major media institutions are all owned by financial institutions because Rupert Murdoch is no longer involved in APN News and Media, which was the parent company of NZME in New Zealand. So it's all banks, private equity companies and other financial institutions who control our media. And the two other big things is the prospect of a merger between Fairfax New Zealand and NZME, and the prospect of a merger between Sky Television and Vodafone.
And so with the financial institution ownership of media, why should we be concerned about this? Like, what are some of the impacts of being owned by financial institutions?
Well, financial institutions have no inherent interest in media content and what media does. For them, media organisations are just revenue streams. So they don't just want to make a profit out of media organisations, they want to make fast profit. It's the rate of profit which is important. And we can see an example of this with New Zealand Media Works, which is now owned by Oak Tree Capital, which is a vulture fund from the United States. Oak Tree Capital took control of Media Works 100% in 2015, and in June this year, one of its own representatives from a London-based investment group, Jonas Mieczka, came on the board. Well, what happened? Well, first of all, we all know that the Campbell Show went south, as did Three Degrees, and that was an abandonment of the news-driven business model for TV3. And its replacement was reality TV shows and more and more tabloid television, a la Story and so on. Now, that new business model, it turned out to be a failure. The revenue streams weren't very good from that. A lot of people left the organisation as a result, all the old news people like Mark Jennings and Hilary Barry. So the net result was a decimation of the old news culture in TV3, which is part of MediaWorks, and the replacement of a new business model, which is yet to be proven as successful.
With the New Zealand ME Fairfax merger, the Commerce Commission came out and said that it would reduce media diversity in New Zealand. Do you think that the merger is still likely to go ahead when they make their final decision early next year?
Well, I'm not sure. This is highly contentious because some of your listeners will have noticed that in the New Zealand Herald last Saturday, a number of people within Fairfax and within the NZME signed a letter saying that the merger was a good idea. On the other hand, other media figures have said it's a bad idea. If we look at the Commerce Commission and if we look at all the submissions that it's received, 56 submissions came in to the Commerce Commission about the NZME Fairfax merger, and only three were supportive of it. So there's big pressure coming from both sides. One side saying, no, the merger can't go ahead, and the other side saying, no, it has to go ahead. So it's still an open question, and it's becoming very, very controversial.
If it went ahead, what would the impacts of this be?
Well, in my estimation, we could see a decline in regional news. By regional news, I mean regional newspapers. So regional newspapers in provincial towns throughout New Zealand will either close down completely or staff will be laid off. Everybody will be treated as a digital news consumer. So the hard copy provincial newspaper could be a thing of the past in many towns. And that's important because there's regional issues in New Zealand that need to be covered by journalists. As we know with the Havelock North water poisoning and so on, you need a vibrant local media, including local newspaper media, to deal with that. So, you know, that's a danger. There's the possibility of paywalls, whereby the newly merged entity starts charging digital customers for content, which takes away the idea that news and current affairs should be available to all and that there shouldn't be any fiscal barrier to that. So paywalls are a possibility. Investigative journalists could be in danger. At the moment, on the New Zealand Herald, for example, we have excellent investigative journalists, Simon Collins, David Fisher, Anne Gibson, Matt Nippert. And the excellent work that they do could be constrained further if under the new merged entity it's decided that there's not the resources for that kind of investigative work. Mm. The other problem is that whenever you get a merged entity, a powerful media organisation, that power, economic power, can become translated into political influence. And so such a group could put pressure on the Commerce Commission somewhere further down the track. They could have collusive arrangements with future governments. They could have undue influence over media ownership, competition, regulatory law. And that's a real danger, because we've seen what happens with News Corp's power in the UK, translating their economic power into political influence. And the same thing could happen in New Zealand on a smaller scale if this merged entity went ahead.
And so with the other merger, the Sky TV Vodafone New Zealand merger, can you tell me a bit about that? Why was that delayed, and what do you expect the outcome of that to be when it comes out later this year?
Well, I'm not sure of the outcome. What I can tell you is that the Commerce Commission is a little bit concerned about it, based on their interim comments. What this proposed merger is all about is Vodafone and Sky coming together. So if we look at this through the lens of Sky, traditionally Sky have tried to lock up premium content such as live sport through their pay television network. That's providing them with difficulties now, because a lot of premium sport is being viewed by consumers through internet providers rather than directly through television, like Coliseum has actually bought up the golfing rights. That was last year and before. So what Sky's looking to do out of this merger is they want to lock in premium content into iPhones, especially iPhones, of course, that are Vodafone. So this is an attempt by Sky to protect the commercial value of its premium content on portable devices, remembering also, of course, that Vodafone has interests in broadband. So it's basically Sky wanting to monetize their premium content within new technological formats.
And so why was the Commerce Commission concerned about this?
Well, let's look at what the size would be if this merger went ahead. The combined revenue of the company would be New Zealand 2.9 billion throughout 2017, and probably 145 million profit. Okay, so that's big. What the Commerce Commission is primarily worried about is that other providers, such as Netflix or Spark, Lightbox, might be closed out by this deal. In other words, it might lessen competition.
And so in terms of these changes to the New Zealand media environment, how does this fit in with global media changes that have happened in the world this year?
Similar patterns are happening globally and in other countries. Newspapers are struggling, so they're looking for digital news as a way to maintain or refurbish their business models. That's happening in other countries as well. The convergence between telecommunications and television, that's starting to occur elsewhere as well. There's a massive merger possibly on the books between AT&T in the United States, massive telecommunications provider, and Time Warner, which is a massive media entertainment company with diverse holdings. That may not go ahead, but that's a really huge version of the kinds of mergers that are being mooted in New Zealand. So there's similar patterns everywhere. So that is financial ownership, growing concentrations of ownership, and an increasing emphasis on protecting profit at the expense of the public sphere, at the expense of the quality of news, at the expense of consumers and citizens.
But so, but is it not a good thing that, you know, that more media companies are working towards being, you know, on multiple platforms, that we can access the content through different ways? Is there not a positive element to that?
Well, the problem there is that the journalists that are left have to operate all these multi-platforms themselves. So even if you're a print journalist today, you're expected to go out, interview people maybe, put things up on your iPhone, come back to work, put it up, craft a story or four or seven throughout the day. You're competing against the YouTube clips. So it means you've got journalists left over running from pillar to post to put out stuff that's pretty light and maybe not properly checked for accuracy. So there's nothing wrong with multi-platform approaches to news gathering and news presentation. It's just that the number of staff and the number of generously paid staff left to do this in mainstream media companies is declining, so that will affect the quality of news.
Just finally, I feel like the outcome of the report all sort of paints a pretty dire picture of the state of the media in New Zealand. Is there any silver lining?
Well, I mean, there's countermeasures as well, or counter trends. One of the most important of those over the last, 4 to 5 years, coming up to the present, is the proliferation of blogs and blog sites. So new innovations there, such as the Daily Blog, forming an alliance with Waitea News, run by Willie Jackson, to run a whole series of nightly current affairs shows all through the year up until recently. That was a pretty important innovation. We've still got Allied Press down in the South Island, which is not owned by any of the major behemoths. And we've got the rise of individual bloggers and blog sites, like a spin-off, Barley Road and so on. And so there's lots of developments happening around these big media ownership trends. It's not media ownership and nothing else going on. It's just a matter of these new developments getting appropriate funding. And one thing that's important here is that New Zealand On Air has changed its funding model in order to try and give some support to those media groups that are trying to develop internet streaming and a wide range of content across a wide range of outlets.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.